Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Just got back from a trip down the Green River. Among the memories, a cougar dashing across a dirt road, an antelope bounding through a field in Wyoming. I tried to capture it all in photos, but a beaver in Colorado looks like a blob of black and rushing water. A bald eagle in Utah is a dot in the sky. I was hoping to get some tips from our next guest, who says when it comes to wildlife, first and foremost, do no harm. Melissa Grew is a much-admired wildlife photographer. Her article for National Geographic is titled, How to Photograph Wildlife Ethically. She's at the Cornell Studios in Ithaca, New York. Melissa Grew, welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here.
What does that mean, ethical wildlife photography? I mean, I can guess it means, you know, try not to infringe on habitat or frighten an animal, but what more does it mean to you?
The more that I've learned about wildlife photography, the more I've come to understand that it's not really about rules of right or wrong. It's more about nuances and really bringing decisions to bear upon each time that we're out there, because each animal is so different. So it's really about sort of building into our field craft, you know, how can we be out there and be really sensitive and really attuned to the bird or other animal in front of us.
And so you start with do no harm, and yes, don't interrupt what the animals would normally be doing. But for instance, take special care at breeding season. How do you know it's breeding season?
There's so much information out there at our fingertips on the internet. And if we can just arm ourselves with some basic information about that species, you know, what are the signs of stress and what are the cycles in their lives? And it's vitally important to understand what the threats are to a particular animal, or whether it's endangered or it's threatened.
Yeah. So you're saying it's your job as the photographer to do the research.
Absolutely.
As you say, never alter vegetation around nests or dens.
Absolutely. I do know that some people, professionals to amateurs, may alter habitat around a nest or a den because they're searching for a more sort of aesthetically pleasing image. But what they're not taking into account, or perhaps ignoring, is that the animal or the bird chose that particular spot because it provides such perfect camouflage and because it shields the young from the elements, from the harsh sun, from the wind, from the cold.
Well, you also say keep it wild, and that includes no feeding wildlife to get a picture. And I didn't know this, that if you feed an animal, as you note, Yellowstone National Park's website states a fed animal
is a dead animal, absolutely.
The Park Service will destroy them.
Absolutely. Foxes that have become habituated, for instance, to people feeding them from cars. For one thing, they may often get hit by cars because they run towards cars, but also their emboldened behavior can really be perceived as a threat to people and can be threatening to people just walking around because they come to associate all humans with that handout. And so there's been many cases where foxes have had to be put down by the staff at Yellowstone. There was an incident last year in Grand Teton where a black bear mama and her two cubs were being fed fruit from cars, and she had to be euthanized, and her two young are now living out their lives in captivity.
Mm, terrible. Also, you know, it endangers the animal, it endangers people. Even though it's big business, you point out in Eastern and Northern Europe, people offer food near blinds for photographers who are inside the blinds so that the animals will come for the food. But then, in addition to all the dangers, and you just described one, I mean, animals then expect to go to people and get food. That's not real. Those animals that might come together to get food at a blind would never be together.
Yes, this is not natural history. This is not a depiction of reality. This is a very artificially created situation. And I think it does viewers a disservice. It paints this sort of Disney-like view of the world at a time when people are increasingly disconnected from nature. And I really feel it's incumbent on us as photographers, whether we're amateurs or we're professionals, to accurately depict nature, to really try to connect people to the realities of nature. And that's the beauty of nature. It is wild. And I'm always trying to tell people, let's keep it wild.
Look, but this brings us to the conundrum that you, as a wildlife photographer and someone who loves wildlife, face every day, which is, should we take pictures at all? And you say, yeah, because you want to conserve, you want people to know about conserving these creatures. So this is a conundrum for you as well, how to best do it to, in fact, save them, not endanger them.
It absolutely is, and conservation photography is a new, well, relatively new, but rapidly growing genre of photography wherein photographers, you know, it's not just about taking that picture, it's about doing something with that photo, even if it's just on social media. And anyone can be a conservation photographer. It's really about using your photos to go to work in service of that animal. And it's about educating other people how to better respect the wildlife that we're so lucky to have with us or that we're so lucky to travel to see. So how do we sort of really use our photos to advocate and to conserve? And it's about being accurate and truthful on mm-hmm. social media. You know, the power of visual imagery is really stronger than it's ever been in history, and photos can quickly go viral. And I think as photographers, we have so much power. You know, and I feel we're at a time when wild animals are increasingly pressured and increasingly in fragmented areas. And we, as photographers, wildlife watchers, birders, we've got online databases and instant messaging and GPS and thermal imaging and drones and camera traps, all of these tools that give us so much power. And yet we've lost half of Earth's wildlife in the last 40 years, and one in four species is at risk of going extinct. And so it's really about, you know, how can we be out there and tell these crucial stories and yet leave as little footprint as we can and understand the distances that we have to be from certain animals. You know, you heard about this girl getting tossed perhaps in Yellowstone last month by a bison. They were within 5 to 10 feet of that bison, just completely flouting the park's rules.
Well, another thing we heard a lot when we were out west last week, we're on the East Coast right now, but, you know, how many people were dying from taking selfies of themselves in national parks.
Know.
It's just photography has become, it's got all sorts of ethical ramifications. But I just want to go through, Melissa Grew, some of the other things you point out. Drones are also can have terrible negative effects on animals. A study showed that black bears' heartbeats, you know, went up 123 beats per minute. Drones are not safe necessarily for animals. Photography game farms, where it's popular in Montana, Minnesota, you know, they have the captured animals there and they promise you these great shots. But again, maybe they're luring the animals with food. Maybe these are animals that shouldn't be in captivity. A lot of things to think about before you take a picture of an animal. But I just want to ask you, you mentioned that one of the things you'd like to see is transparency from professionals in particular. How did they get the shot? That should be included with the shot when it goes out on social media. Can you tell us, you know, we have, as we said, beautiful shots from you at herenow.org. For instance, there's a snowy owl and her chick right up close. You're in the nest with them. How did you get that shot?
That was in Utqiagvik in Barrow, Alaska, which is the northernmost point in the U.S., which is the last stronghold of snowy owls nesting. And I worked very closely with a biologist, and he had set up a blind quite a distance from the nest. And I was, of course, working with my 600 millimeter with a 2x teleconverter, which granted me 1,200 millimeters, and those photos are cropped. Every time I approached the blind, though, it would instantly flush the female off the nest. And that gave me great angst to see her disturbed and worried for her young. But, you know, it's really a balance. It's that decision that you have to make. Is this story really crucially important? Do you have an avenue in which you're going to tell a critically important story about a threatened animal or an endangered animal, and it's going to get a great audience, and you're going to be able to perhaps attract funding to the biologist and all of that. So that's what I mean about every time we go out, if it's a really sensitive situation, we have to make very careful decisions, work with biologists when we can, and really find a way to make those pictures go to work. But I will say the scariest moment I've ever had as a wildlife photographer was being dive bombed by the father of those young. Snowy owl males are incredibly fierce in protecting their young. And he came at me, and I had to duck and roll, and he would have taken my scalp off with his talons if he could have. I'm not scared of anything, but that was truly scary.
You still took the picture of the mother with the child.
Yes, I got into that blind, and after a few moments, the mother returned to the nest, and the chicks were fine, and I sat very still in that blind for hours in the freezing cold and documented their relationship. I documented the male bringing in lemmings, which are their primary food source there, the rodents of the tundra. And I was able to capture these really intimate moments. So in the end, I feel in the balance that really was worth it.
Melissa Grew, ethical wildlife photographer, conservationist, will also post her National Geographic article, How to Photograph Wildlife Ethically, at herenow.org. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you so much. If I could just end with one last word for all of us to keep in mind that for us, it's just about a photo, but for that animal, every single moment is about survival.